As I mentioned last week, we were dealing with issues that, well, they're just basically promoted in ways that are not really what they're telling you. There's lies going on. There's deceptions going on. We talked about alcohol last week. We're going to talk about marijuana this week. I have plans for at least opioids. Coming up, and pornography is another one I want to hit on. Probably will think of a few more before I get done with this series. But those are things I want to address. And with marijuana, as we're going to focus on today, it started out, or at least the way it was being promoted, in a very noble fashion. The emphasis was we need to legalize marijuana because there are medical uses for it. And it sounds good on the surface. And one of the things I've said for years, if they find medical uses for it, great. There are a number of things that we use, you know, plant derivatives for. A lot of our medicines come from plant derivatives. For instance, aspirin comes from willow bark. You know, those type of things are wonderful. But instead of using controlled studies where the effectiveness of the derivative is analyzed, and that's what they usually do, is they go to and try to figure out what chemical is it in there that actually makes the difference. And then analyze for its benefits versus its harm. Because hey, we take drugs all the time. Even aspirin. Aspirin's been around forever. It has some harm. It causes stomach problems. It has some benefits. It helps with the heart. Which one outweighs the other? That's what is analyzed. But instead, what we're seeing is the door is being thrown wide open. Let's use it for everything and anything. Now, yes, there's an oil that's been found that's been extracted from marijuana that appears to have benefits for some sufferers of epilepsy. So those who can't be treated by any other means, this oil seems to help calm down and stop their epileptic fits. But does that justify a claim for using it for any illness? There's where the problem comes in. We found a use. And oh, by the way, that oil does not contain the substance that makes marijuana addictive and causes psychological problems. It doesn't have that substance. THC is a substance. The oil doesn't have THC in it. It's something else that's present that's actually giving them benefit. But what they're opening the door for is for everything. For instance, as of 2018, marijuana is legalized in some form of medical use in 31 states. Seven of those states also allow marijuana to be used in schools for medical purposes. So they're basically breaking their laws about not allowing drugs in schools to allow for marijuana in schools. And as of 2018, is now legal for recreational use in 8 of the states. And that's where people ought to be stopping and say, wait a minute, we started out talking about medical use. Now suddenly we got recreational use. Why? What caused the change? Now, marijuana is basically portrayed as being relatively harmless. The advocates argue that legalizing marijuana would give, for instance, the police more time to crack down on serious crimes. That was one of the arguments used before Colorado legalized marijuana. Well, we need to legalize it, then the police can spend their time on real drugs instead of this harmless one. But you know what the reality is? Since it's been legalized in Colorado, the majority of DUI drug arrests involve marijuana. When people are driving under the influence, most of the arrests involve marijuana. I thought it was supposed to take down the police efforts. In fact, another statistic I ran across, almost 50% of Denver's arrests involve positive tests for marijuana. Half the crimes in Denver, the people are high. Well, wait a minute, we're supposed to be giving the police a break. Another thing that I ran across is, especially when they start saying marijuana is harmless, is so often the statistics and the studies are cited from things that were done in the 60s and 70s. Now, there was a problem with marijuana in the 60s. I'm old enough to remember that. Okay. And there were a number of studies done in that time. But the average strength of today's marijuana is about 5 to 6 times stronger than it has that much higher levels of THC than it was in the 1960s and 70s. In fact, from the wild plants or whatever, it's upwards of 10 to 20 times stronger than they're being cultivated to produce more of the toxic part. More of the drug effect. And it's getting stronger each year. Another argument that comes up is, well, adults should be able to do as they please. And it won't be sold to kids. We're going to control this. And yet, what I found is among 12th graders, 6% continue to report daily use, which corresponds to about 1 in 16 high school seniors. Among all grades, perceptions of harm and disapproval around marijuana use continue to decrease. I find that probably the most disturbing thing. Not only is it being used in high schools, students, high schoolers are now coming out with the idea that marijuana is harmless. And that number is increasing steadily. It gets really interesting when you compare it to cigarette smoking. Cigarette smoking has decreased because there's been a strong movement in this country to say we got to stop tobacco. And it's been very effective. And while cigarette smoking has decreased among high school students, marijuana smoking has gradually increased. So currently, and this was from 2017, more students smoke marijuana daily than smoke cigarettes daily now. And yet they were going to say, it's all right. We're not going to let the kids have this. In fact, in 2015, Colorado ranked third in the nation for use between 12 and 17 for using marijuana. They were near the bottom beforehand, but they weren't near the top either. What's changed? They legalized marijuana for recreational. Kids have access to it. And now they're number three in the nation. Drug-related school suspensions increased 40% in 2013. Compared to 2008. In 2017, over 18% of high school seniors report they drove while high on marijuana in the last 30 days. Now, just so that you have something to compare it to, in 2015, it's the nearest number I could find, in Nebraska, the marijuana use by students in Nebraska was 25%. It's 39% nationwide. It's higher in Colorado and Washington. If the average is 39 and Colorado's number 3 is higher. And like I said, but the reasoning behind it, the selling for it was, it's not going to cause any harm. And we're going to keep it out of the kids' hands. One of the things I found also interesting, in surveys done in Colorado and Washington, two early adopters of recreational use of marijuana, the users said that they felt their habit did not impair their ability to drive. And in some cases, it improved it. And everybody's grinning, yeah. Of course, marijuana-related traffic accidents have risen in Colorado and Washington. Prior to legalization, about half of all fatal traffic accident drivers had THC, the active ingredient of marijuana, in their bloodstream. That's disturbing alone. But after the legalization, it was now 85% of the drivers have THC in their. If they're involved in a traffic accident, 85% of those involved in a traffic incident where there was a fatality, they had THC in their blood. Pot-positive traffic fatalities have gone up 100% since voters legalized pot in Colorado. This is true despite the fact that the overall traffic fatalities in Colorado have gone down since 2007. So traffic accidents, they managed to get the traffic accidents overall down, but the ones that are causing it, 100% increase due to marijuana. You know, it doesn't cause any harm. Then explain why marijuana-related emergency room visits have increased 57% from 2011 to 2013. That's a huge jump. Marijuana-related hospitalizations have increased 82% since 2008. I'm sorry about all these statistics, but I want you to see what we're dealing with. It was argued also that the black market for marijuana sales would disappear once it was legalized. Because, well, there's a legal outlet, so there won't be people going to get it on the black market. No, the black market's still there. Is actually costing the officers more money and more time to track down the illegal sales because the legal sales muddy the water. See, people can claim, well, I bought this at a legal place. That makes it more complicated. And just saying, hey, you got it, so therefore you got it illegal. It actually is increasing the enforcement costs. Now, when we talk about marijuana, they say, well, there's not that much of effect. I have to remind people, there's a reason why it was put on Schedule 1. It's classified as a dangerous and controlled substance right along with heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. The American Medical Association, the American Lung Association, other reputable doctors and scientists, they all reject legalization. There is a reason for that. Why? Well, let's look at a list of what happens when you're high. People that are high on marijuana, they have short attention spans. They have an inability to do tasks that take multiple steps, which is related to having a short attention span. You can't remember what you're supposed to do next. There's short-term memory loss. It delivers up to 4 times the tar to lungs that tobacco does. Tar is what causes lung diseases. It causes acute panic attacks in strong doses. It triggers schizophrenia in people. Even people that don't have it yet, for some reason, it causes it to trigger. And people become more schizophrenic. Or more people become schizophrenic. It impairs decision making. Gives you red eyes. Blurred vision. Headaches. In women, it decreases fertility. In men, it decreases their sex drive. That's harmless? Does that sound harmless? See, the scriptures teach us that we're to be sober-minded. And marijuana leads in the opposite direction. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and starting with verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad corrupt company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Don't get involved with bad company. Don't let the world influence you. Keep your mind sober as you ought. For as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Keep your spirit sober. What do we mean by sober? Sober means to be clear-minded, thinking clearly, able to process information. Marijuana interferes with that. But there's not just the symptoms when you're high. There's also the symptoms when you come down from marijuana. When a person's withdrawing, they become irritable. They're restless. They have a decrease in appetite. Their sleep is disturbed. They have sweatings, tremors, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Why do we want to point out that? Because a lot of times people say, oh, the reason why I'm taking marijuana is because it calms my stomach. Oh, yeah, but when you start withdrawing from it, it upsets your stomach, which makes you want to go back on it. People say, it makes me more calm, less stressed while I'm high. Yeah, but when you come down from it, you get stressed and you get irritable more than you normally would. And what do? They go back to the marijuana. It becomes a cycle. A repeating cycle that they can't get off this train. Because every time they start to come off of it, the very things that come off of is what they used in the first place for. And what ends up happening, and here it's another thing you've got to understand. I found one report in the Omaha World Herald in 2015 of an 18-year-old high school student stabbed himself to death after smoking a very highly potent strain of pot. It's not harmless. It's stronger than what's been out there before. Teens who smoke marijuana are 60% less likely to graduate high college, 7 times more likely to attempt suicide. You see, one of the reasons why marijuana has been classified as a Schedule I drug is because it affects intelligence. There is a reason why marijuana users are portrayed, I think that movie was Dumb and Dumber. There's a reason for that, even if that was a caricature. Researchers found persistent users of the drug marijuana who started smoking it at school had lower IQ scores as adults. They were also significantly more likely to have attention and memory problems in later life than their peers who abstained. Further, those who started as teenagers and used it heavily but quit as adults did not regain their full mental powers. It's a permanent damage to the brain, is what it's saying. For example, individuals who started using cannabis in adolescence and used it for years thereafter showed an average of 8-point IQ decline. That's significant. It might not sound that way. Quitting or reducing cannabis use did not appear to fully restore intellectual functioning among adolescent onset former persistent cannabis users, she said. Although 8 points does not sound like much, it's not trivial. I don't know about you, but I could use every bit of my brain power I can get. Wouldn't mind a little bit more. Purposely taking away 8 points of it doesn't sound very smart. And if it's in high school, that's when your brain is developing. And it is a permanent damage. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 9. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters and everything. Oops, I got the wrong passage down here. I wanted one with sober-minded in it. Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah. You urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing and not argumentative. Not pilfering, but showing good faith so that they adorn the doctrine of God in every respect. And I forgot what... Pardon? 2:1. 2:6. 2:6 sounds better. Yes, likewise, urge a young man to be sensible. That's the one. I turned it upside down. I think that's the first time I've done that one. Read my notes upside down. Titus 2:6. Urge young men to be sensible. That's the word for sober-minded. It translates the Greek word sophroneiro. It literally means to be safe mind. It refers to someone who's rational in the sense of being intellectually sound and in the right mind. It's commonly connected with the idea of physical abstinence, as in the proverb, a sound mind and a sound body. A person who's on marijuana is not sophroneiro. They're not in a sound mind. You know, there are reasons, like I said, why users are depicted as being dumb, clueless, and lazy. And while there's not a verse that says, thou shalt not use marijuana, you know, there are, think about the passages that from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. It says, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, the complacency of fools will destroy them. Foolish people tend to be lazy. Foolish people also have anger issues. Take a look at Proverbs 12 and verse 16. A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Remember we said marijuana, when you're using it, you can't think to the next steps. You can't complete tasks with multiple steps. Well, think about the verses like, for instance, 13 verse 16. Proverbs 13 verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Prudence is the ability to think ahead, to see the outcome. How to do that when you have short-term memory loss? And as we mentioned, fools tend to be lazy. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 5. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. There's a journal called the Journal of Addiction. It's published by King's College in London. They did a study on marijuana. Their conclusion is marijuana is highly addictive. I've heard that argued too. Oh, it's not addictive. Yes, it is. It's highly addictive. It causes mental health problems. It's a gateway drug for other illegal and dangerous drugs. I just saw an article just last week saying, oh, it's not that way. Scientific study said, yes, it does lead to other drugs and more dangerous drugs. There's a very simple reason, by the way. When you're high on marijuana, you don't think ahead. And so when somebody offers you a stronger drug, you just go ahead and take it. You don't argue. That's why they say it's a gateway drug. Adolescents who use marijuana have lower educational accomplishments than their non-using peers. The use of marijuana produces intellectual impairment. It doubles the risk of getting schizophrenia. And the use of marijuana increases the risk of heart attacks in middle-aged adults. I bet you haven't heard that one either. You say, oh, it's got benefits in cancer patients. Yeah, but it increases heart attacks. Remember what I said at the beginning, that usually they study these things and make sure that the benefits outweigh the harm? This is indiscriminate use. So why is there a push to legalize marijuana if there's so many problems with it? We've been having this campaign to get rid of tobacco. What does the government make off of tobacco? Money. Their tax revenues have been going down drastically. And so the states needed revenue from sales. In those states that have fully legalized marijuana, revenue collections have exceeded initial estimates. Colorado anticipated $70 million in marijuana tax collections per year. And after a slow initial start, state collections will likely exceed $140 million in the calendar year 2016. I couldn't find any current ones. In Washington, after a slow start to bring the licensing system online, sales are now averaging over $2 million a day in revenue, possibly reaching to $270 million per year. That was from the Tax Foundation and the impact of federal impact on legalizing marijuana. They're looking at this as a cash cow. And it is because, hey, this is an addictive substance. People will pay for it. In fact, it says states are addicted now to cannabis tax revenues. According to a new report from New Frontier Data, states with legalized marijuana are on track to generate approximately $655 million in state taxes on revenue sales in 2017. Within that tax figure, $559 million will come just from cannabis tax, much more than from alcohol tax. They're making oodles of money off of this. More than they made from cigarette sales, more than they made from alcohol sales. This is what's driving it. But keep in mind what Jeremiah told us. In Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 11. As a partridge that hatches eggs which it has not laid, so is he who makes a fortune but unjustly. In the midst of his days it will forsake him, and in the end he will be a fool. When you make money off of other people's addictions, that's unjust. In Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 9. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples. So you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall and the rafter will enter it from the framework. This was not talking about marijuana sales. But this is what problem that Israel had. People that were making money saying, hey, we're doing this for calamities. You're going to bring about calamity. And you know what the saddest thing is? People like it. I think the worst statistic I said mentioned before was that the students today don't see marijuana use as dangerous. Teens are becoming more accepting of marijuana use as not being harmful. I find it absolutely ironic, right after a campaign that's saying smoking is bad, that now people think, well, smoking marijuana is not bad. It doesn't make sense. Take a look at Micah. Micah chapter chapter 2. Micah chapter 2 and in verse 11. If a man walking after wind and falsehood has told lies and said, I will speak to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be a spokesman to his people. Substitute alcohol for marijuana. People will accept lies that alcohol and any other drug are acceptable because a lot of people want to get high. And the problem arises when those that should be guiding the people lie and are motivated by power and money. And then you got people who don't care. Take a look again at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5 this time. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 26. For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they will become great and rich. They are fat and they're sleek. They also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, that they may prosper. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, on a nation such as this? Shall I not avenge myself? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do in the end of it? Now, Moses made a lament in Deuteronomy 32 at the end of his life. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 28 says, "For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future." People in general don't think well. Oh, that they would just realize what the future holds. Peter warned us in 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." We have to stay sober, because the world is going, I hate to say it, but it's going to pop. And we got to stand against it. We got to be a voice of reason. We can't let people understand, think that this is not causing any harm. This is fine. It's causing all sorts of harm. It's documented. But it's not being published. It's not being well accessed. It's not being broadcast. Because those who are in leadership want the money. And I think that's the biggest shame of all. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God and would like to praise your brother on your behalf, why don't you come forward if we stand and sing the song that was selected.